Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
The following program is produced by Lawin Media Network. The views and opinions expressed in this program are solely those of the individuals appearing on the show and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of Lawin Media Network, its affiliates, sponsors, or partners. The content provided in this program is intended for informational and entertainment purposes only. Lawin Media Network does not guarantee the accuracy, completeness, or timeliness of the information.
Good evening, everybody, and you're watching Lawin Media Network live, either through our YouTube channel or through our Facebook Live page. And welcome to our third episode of Pink Table Talk. I'm your host, Dr. Carly D. I'm a doctorally prepared nurse, educator, mentor, advocate, mother, and a domestic violence survivor. So I'm very happy for you guys joining us today for our third episode. Tomorrow is Independence Day, and it is a time to celebrate freedom and the pursuits of our dreams. And tonight's guest did just that. Tonight we have Tonya. She is a nurse, an entrepreneur, a businesswoman, a triplet, and a mom. So tonight we're gonna have a great discussion with her and talk to her about her journey to success and her journey through her triumphs and challenges. She began her journey at age 16 as a pregnant homeless teen, and today she owns a thriving business in healthcare. She attended Mount Carmel College of Nursing, where she completed her bachelor's in nursing at the age of 21. Tonya has recently started Staying Alive, a CPR company, and she has a passion to use CPR as a tool to educate members of the community in the life-saving measures. In the span of 1 year, Staying Alive CPR has trained over 100 people and has been officially appointed as a training site for the American Heart Association. And she has been officially appointed as one of their training faculties. She also is starting a nonprofit branch of her business called Rescue Ready, which hopes to offer free CPR training to people in the inner city of Ohio to address the alarming need for Black and Brown people to know how to administer CPR. Since heart disease is the number one leading cause of death amongst African American men and women, and many of them do not know how to administer CPR, she hopes that with this company that she can begin to train those in the inner city on how to administer CPR properly to help save lives. So we are very happy to have Tonya here on the show tonight. So welcome, Tonya.
Hi, how are you guys? Thank you for the welcoming intro.
Hi, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing wonderful.
Oh, it's so good to have you, Tonya. I've been watching you over the years and seeing you do such great things. So I'm very excited to have you here today. And so can you just start by telling us a little bit about yourself and where you come from?
Well, as you guys have heard, my name is Tonya. I'm a native of Columbus, Ohio. Grew up in a middle-class neighborhood, Reynoldsburg, Ohio. Shout out to the 614. but I grew up in a family of 10. I was one of 10 kids.
Wow.
Yeah,
wow.
Big family, big family. So a lot of noise. And I'm also a triplet. So it was
wow. Oh my God.
It was a fun childhood growing up, very loud. You know, everybody wanted attention growing up.
Oh my goodness. Wow.
But a little bit about me and my upbringing. But again, we were a middle-class family, your typical American family, you know, paycheck to paycheck, but you know, our parents made it work and, you know, kind of went from there.
Wow. That's wonderful. I think we have a picture of you and your siblings. Can we have that picture pulled up?
Yes.
Wow. Look at you guys. You need your own show.
That was for our 30th birthday. That was our rest in peace to our 20s theme. My sister, who was born 1 minute older than me, her name is Tiana. And then I was the second one out. And then my brother was the last one out. We're all one minute apart.
Wow. Look at that. Upcoming
birthday this month, July 29th. So.
Oh, wow. How awesome. And you know what I was saying is this is our third episode and today's July 3rd. So we got the power of three going today.
The power of three.
Yes. How awesome. That is so wonderful. You guys need your own show, you know, like so beautiful.
We're very like-minded. We've actually pondered about it. Working about fitness. We're all into fitness. So.
Wow. So healthy and beautiful. That's wonderful.
Thank you.
Yes. So tell us more about your journey. Your journey into nursing. What was that like?
Yeah. So growing up, you know, we had typical childhood, hardworking parents. But by the time I got into high school, things kind of got tough. That's when the market crashed in 2008, 2009. The economy went into a really, really deep recession. Yes. My mother lost her job. So we went from a two-family income, and she was the breadwinner, to a one-income family of, at that time, we had seven kids still left in the home. So ends got really tight. Things got really tight. You know, we weren't celebrating holidays anymore like we were used to. Everything kind of just changed overnight. And unfortunately, during those years, my mom, you know, unfortunately, you know, got addicted to drugs and, you know, left the home. So pretty much high school, we were kind of left to fend for ourselves, I guess you would say. Our dad... Although he was amazing, he actually isn't our biological father. He adopted us when we were all three.
Wow.
But he was just doing the best he could, you know? So he was still working just to keep a roof over our head. And we pretty much raised ourselves through high school. So it was a lot of, you know, there was no guidance. And because of that, we kind of were running free to do what we wanted. And, you know, some things happened. And so, unfortunately, I found myself in a very abusive relationship with an older man. I was 16 and he was 24.
Oh, wow.
And I fell pregnant. You know, I was a senior in high school. It wasn't expected of me to be the one to get pregnant. I was always a straight A and B student. I played basketball my whole life. I had great mentors. Traveled the world playing basketball. I actually was offered a full ride scholarship. And so when I got pregnant, it kind of like crushed all those dreams. But I had a really, really inspiring mentor. Her name was Carol Hayes. And she was the one who inspired me. She was always, she was a business owner, entrepreneur. She was working like, she was a nurse. She was a nurse. She ran a real estate business. I mean, she was all over the place. She was one of our basketball coaches. She was my best friend. Yeah, she was my best friend's mom. Me and my best friend were like sisters. My best friend, Ashley. And Carol really inspired me to become a nurse. And although, you know, a lot of people, when I got pregnant, you know, kind of like gave up on me, actually put out of the house because I was pregnant. I love my dad, but he was a strict Catholic. And he was just, you know, there was already somebody other children there. So I ended up on Section 8. But my godmother, my mentor, Carol Haynes, she never gave up on me. And so she inspired me to go to nursing school, which I was accepted at Mount Carmel College of Nursing. And that's how I began my pathway into nursing. And she's the one who actually gave me my first job as a nurse's aide. She gave my first job as a nurse's aide at the Ohio State University Medical Center. So, you know, that's kind of how I got into nursing, was from her.
Wow. What an amazing story. You know, it's so amazing when I hear and see all these successful women, but then when you look at their beginning, their start point, you know, and you can see that they had to overcome a lot of challenges, you know, and they had to go through a lot of difficult and hard times. And so seeing you today now, you know, you have your thriving business, you have a beautiful family. People probably wouldn't expect that was your beginning. That was your journey, you know?
Yeah, and they don't. And sometimes, you know, I think sometimes we can easily see our success and we forget about that story. And I tell people all the time, I don't share my story enough. Because now I have this beautiful life, you know, I've got 5 children with my husband and we live in a beautiful home in a beautiful neighborhood. And, you know, we have this success and sometimes, you know, and sometimes it's got a little trauma there. But sometimes it's important to share that story to help other women understand that delay is not denial, you know, regardless of the trials and tribulations that you go through, you know, God is in control. That is one thing that I knew from high school. Like, I knew when I was a pregnant senior, I knew that this wasn't the end. I knew I was going to college. I knew I was still going to graduate, and I did still graduate high school on time with honors. I got accepted, like I said, into nursing school, and, you know, it was hard. You know, I was taking the COTA bus to school. I was my daughter's daycare. I found her daycare on the bus line. I had to make I had at the time. I had to make things work. You know, her dad was in and out of the picture, very abusive. And you know, age 19, you know, I didn't listen. I didn't learn my lesson. I got pregnant again. You know, and I call her my miracle baby because, you know, she really wasn't supposed to be here, but she made it. And I love her to death. You know, us three rocked it out through those college years. I look back a lot of times now and it's like it had to be nothing but God because I was on autopilot. I was working nights at the hospital. I had 2 young children at 19 and I was in school full time. You know, at going through nursing school, what nursing school is like.
Oh, my goodness.
They don't care about your excuses.
No.
They don't care about your kids. They don't care how you're going to get there. You just got to be there. So I really just give all that thanks to God because really I don't know how I did it, but I got it done.
Oh, that's so awesome. And it truly is God, you know, he gives us like this drive, you know, and I found that for myself, even becoming a mom, I had this drive and this passion and this fire that I didn't have before. So I think he does give that to us. And because we're doing it for them, you know, we want to be able to provide them with a better life. So that's so wonderful. What can you tell our audience and those out there who may be in that situation? What's the word of encouragement you can give to them?
A word of encouragement is that the sun will come out in the morning. Not to give up. But I think we also have to take accountability for the situations that we find ourselves in. Yes. And I started taking accountability for the situation that I, you know, the choices I made, you know, I chose to have 2 children at a young age. I chose to stay in a relationship with an abusive man. And once I started to take really accountability of myself and my situation, I realized I wanted more and I wanted my children to have more. And I started being obedient to God because God told me to leave him a long time ago, but I was being disobedient. It was back there. It was back there. The whole time I knew I wasn't supposed to be with this man. And, you know, at the end of the day, I was being disobedient. And so the results I was getting was not that's not what God wanted for me. And when once I actually stepped out on faith, because a part of the reason why people stay in those situations is because they're afraid, right? Yes. How am I going to go on? Like, you know, how am I going to be a single parent with two kids? And, yes. you know, I need help. And, you know, you get dependent, but that's what faith is, right? Faith mm-hmm. is stepping into darkness and yes. realizing that God is in control and he will catch you. And so once I finally did that, God did exactly that. He blessed me with my current husband. I met him. His name is Tim Lowe. And
that's nice.
I met this amazing man. I call him my knight in shining armor. I met him senior year of college. And when I mean he stepped in and he filled that gap, you know, he stepped in and started being a dad to my children. They were 3 and 1 at the time. I was having financial hardships. I was going to lose my apartment. Mm-hmm. He started my rent like right away. Like he stepped in and God just, you know, took it from there. And we actually just celebrated our 10-year anniversary.
July 1st. Oh, wow. Congratulations. Well, we'll finish with the rest of your story after this break. This has all been so great, a great start to the show. So we'll be right back after this break, everybody. Stay tuned. Everybody, you're live with us tonight on Lawin Media Network. This is Pink Table Talk, and I'm your host, Dr. Carly D. If you're watching us live, remember to make comments or put your questions in the chat. Also, this show is produced by Lawin Media Network, and you can find us on their YouTube page, Facebook. We're also on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Google, and about 15 different podcast platforms. So if you missed tonight's live recording, you can listen to us later on today. So tonight we have Tanya Lowe. She is a nurse and an entrepreneur, and she has started a terrific company called Staying Alive CPR. And we're having a fabulous conversation with her tonight. And so we're going to continue this conversation now. So tell us, what gave you the idea for Staying Alive CPR?
Well, what really gave me the idea about Staying Alive CPR is I'm a nurse by trade. I work in critical care medicine, have been for 11 years. Mm-hmm. And we get a lot of really critically ill patients in the hospital settings. So I hate to admit that I can't even tell you how many times I've done CPR in my lifetime. More times than I would like to count. But honestly, a lot of the patients that we get that are so sick, you hear the backstories of how they arrived to the hospital, how they came in, how they presented. And a lot of them don't survive because they were at home. And statistics actually show that 70% of all cardiac arrests happen at home. Wow. But these patients were at home and went into a cardiac arrest and no one initiated CPR. If CPR was initiated, it was either initiated wrong or cardiac arrest was recognized too late. So unfortunately, what happens with these patients is they come in very, very sick, a lot of time with brain injuries, and a lot of times they don't survive just because the CPR wasn't initiated. And so that's kind of how I got the idea. It's like the community really knows how, needs to know how to initiate CPR correctly. And I started to do some research in my, you know, surrounding area, and there was not a lot of training centers for CPR surrounding area. So that's kind of what gave me the idea of, okay, I can do this. You know, I do this on a regular basis. And so I started doing my research, and I actually got inspired by my good friend Veronica Gilcrease, who was also, she was an instructor first. She kind of got me connected with some people to get my instructor license and everything. And she's the one who kind of put that seed in my ear, and she planted it, and it kind of grew from there. And so that's kind of where it took off.
Wow, that's terrific. Wow, I didn't know so many patients were not receiving proper CPR at home. That's really something. And so this is the only training site in your area at the time, at right now?
No, so we do have a few other training sites, but like my demographical area, there isn't another one for about 5 to 10 miles. So they're just not, and there's just not enough. When you go to the ones that are open, it's just they're either, you know, booked up, they're busy, or they just don't have enough staff to where the classes aren't as frequent. There's a need. So. Yeah. It's definitely something that I wanted to give to the community, and not just nurses and EMTs and firefighters, which that's what a lot of the other surrounding CPR training schools, you know, offer it towards, but to the actual community, people just walking off the street, everybody should know CPR.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so what services do you offer? What are the training programs there that you have with your program?
So here with Staying Alive CPR, obviously I offer CPR. I offer BLS, which is for healthcare providers. And then I also offer Heart Saver, which is for the everyday people coming off the street. I have babysitting courses that I offer teenagers looking to want to babysit over the summer, where they also get, they also get CPR certified and learn how to run a babysitting business. I also offer advanced cardiac life support, which is ACLS, and that is for your healthcare professionals, like your EMTs, your firefighters, your nurses, and your doctors. And then I actually just recently started offering instructor courses to where I can actually train and teach other people who are, you know, love this work and want to do this work. I can actually train them to be instructors for CPR. So they could become entrepreneurs, start their own business as they please.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really great. That's so wonderful. And then I see you've been recognized by the American Heart Association as a training faculty. Tell me, how did you get, how did that come about?
So, like I said, I've only been doing this. I opened this business in April of 23. So it's been a little bit over a year, but within that year, I have successfully trained over 100 people in CPR. Many of them are, you know, future healthcare heroes, students at another location where I actually work at. I work for a nonprofit where we actually train STNAs, phlebotomy technicians, EKG technicians. So a lot of them take my courses. And then, you know, just going to community events, training persons at community events. And then obviously just people book for my site. So just from the work, the very large amount of work I've done in a very short year. It has been a busy year. I was recognized by my training center, and they recently last month appointed me to training faculty and recognized my business and my location as a training site.
Wow, that's fantastic. That's really great. What an accomplishment. And I see you have your little buddies there in the back.
I do. That's can my you family. Tell
us, yeah, can you tell us about that, some of the equipment you have there?
Yeah, so these are Preston products. I really love Preston. These are Preston products in the back. So we have adults, children, and infants. And so they give real live audio feedback while we're doing our trainings. And that way, Yeah, that they're pretty high tech. So that way, people who are learning CPR know that they are, one, going at the correct depth, two, going at the correct rate, because we know that with high quality compressions, there it increases our chances of survival. We also have AED machines, which we train on AED use, so people know how to use AED machine. We've got Narcan trainers. We do Narcan trainings.
Oh, wow. That's great.
We do Narcan training so people know how to give that life-saving naloxone to opioid overdoses. And bags. We have actually fake gunshot wounds. A lot of the people like training where we it's kind of like the stop the bleed. So they like to, you know, dress the wounds, and it's pretty realistic. We get a little messy in here.
Sounds like a good time while learning.
It is a good time, and we always have a CPR playlist, so we're always moving and grooving while doing CPR. We have a really nice playlist, and it plays songs all to the beat and the rate of what compressions should be held at, so it's a really good time.
That's fantastic. That's great. Now, can you tell us about compression quality? Because I don't think a lot of people understand that there is a certain rate and depth that we need to be doing if we are doing CPR so it can actually be effective. Can you explain that to our audience?
Yeah, so for one, we need to recognize who our victim is, if it is an adult, a child, or an infant, because that is gonna be a difference. But with adult children, we always wanna compress about 2 inches deep. And sometimes people don't realize how deep we have to compress to actually compress the heart so blood continues to circulate. And so I always tell my students to look at their index finger and go from knuckle to knuckle, and that's roughly about 2 inches. So it's pretty deep. So children and adults, we're going to compress down 2 inches deep with the heel of our palm in the center of their chest, right in between their nipple line. And we're going to press down hard and fast. And so we always compress at a rate of 100 to 120. My name is called Staying Alive CPR, because if you know the song, Staying Alive, you know, we compress at that beat. That song actually has the same exact tempo of what we should be giving compressions at.
Wow.
We want them to stay alive.
Oh, that's so great. What a great reminder. So now we're going to have people all around the country staying alive.
And then we always do the ratio of 30 to 2 when you're by yourself. So that's 30 compressions and then 2 rescue breaths, 30 compressions and then 2 rescue breaths. And then obviously the number one thing is, you know, call 911, because you don't want to be by yourself while you're doing, you know, CPR. You want EMS to respond as quickly as possible to increase their chance of survival.
Wow, that's all so great. That's fantastic. And it's so important for people in the community to know, because you never know when you may see an unconscious person, or it could be even one of your family members. So absolutely, I think that it's extremely important for people in the community to know. As well, like you said, you have the babysitter program. I think that's wonderful. Whenever I'm looking for a babysitter, I always make sure they have CPR. Because, you know, that's just my nurse and mom brain. It's like, oh, I need somebody that's trained.
Yes. And then, you know, even with the infants, it's when I train the teenagers, you know, they think that all CPR is the same. They think they're supposed to use 2 hands on an infant. You know, they're ready to, like, put their hands on my babies. And I'm like, no, it's only 2 fingers. You know, you only need 2 fingers. So, you know, for infants, it's 2 finger CPR. And it looks like we got some comments.
Let's take a look here. So we have a comment from Christian Toledo. He asks, it's a question. Is it true that ribs could break when someone is receiving CPR? Yes. So can you answer that for us, Tonya?
And the answer is yes. That is a risk that, you know, we take. But when given an emergency, we always look at what are the risks and what are the benefits, right? So when we assess this victim and we see that there's no pulse, there's no breathing, this is an emergency. So what the alternative is death. Okay. Mm-hmm. So yes, it is a possibility that we can break some ribs. But the bigger possibility is that we save them. People who receive CPR are 2 to 3 times more likely to survive than those who don't receive CPR. So it is a risk. There's other risks associated as well. But depending on what state you live in, I live in Ohio. We are a Good Samaritan law state, which does protect you from liabilities and being sued when you're trying to rescue somebody from CPR. And yeah. I do always tell people that has an asterisk behind it. There's always an asterisk when it comes to that. And a lot of times my students go like, well, what's the asterisk? And I'm like, well, you can't do CPR while you're under the influence.
Yes, that is so true. That's so important. Yeah,
just like nurses can't go in the hospital drunk, you know, think that they can take care of patients. So I do tell them, you know, a lot of them are young and they're like, oh, I'm like, yeah. So, you know, you're not protected from the Good Samaritan law if, you know, certain other situations are going on. But there is a risk. But again, the reward is so much higher. And I'd rather have somebody alive and, you know, sore from a broken rib that could heal than dead. So.
Very good. Thank you. So we're going to take our second break of the evening and we're going to get back to this very informative show. And I'll see you all after the break.
In a world filled with fleeting moments, there's beauty waiting to be captured. My name is Christian, and I specialize in immortalizing your most precious memories. From elegant weddings to vibrant events and timeless portraits, I'm here to make every moment unforgettable. Let me tell your story through the lens. Contact me today.
Lawin Media Network.
Bringing to you the most relevant content across all platforms.
Business, legal, politics, health, lifestyle, and entertainment.
Your source for all the news and updates in the greater Houston community from Texas and all over the world.
Get informed and empowered with Lawin Media Network.
Welcome back to Pink Table Talk. We have some comments here in our live chat. We have a comment from Lawin Media Network saying, very informative show. Thank you. Yes, it's very important that people understand CPR and that there is good quality CPR can help save lives. And then we have another comment from MJ Versosa. She says, great info. So yes, this is all really good info that we've been getting tonight on the importance of CPR and how you began and started your business and all the things that you have journeyed through. Now, can you talk to us about African Americans and heart disease and why it's important for people in the community to know CPR?
Yeah, so heart disease is the leading cause of death among African Americans. And a lot of that is honestly related to miseducation. One, the diets that we're eating, okay? Two, the lack of exercise. And then when we just talk about, you know, diets and exercise, it's also the access, right? What do we actually have access to? And that's the biggest thing that, you know, people say, oh, well, I can only afford this or I can only afford that. But I like to challenge people, like to do their research, because a lot of the people that, you know, a lot of the patients I talk to when I ask, hey, what's your diet looking like? It's a lot of fast food. And, you know, fast food is expensive, especially when it becomes a habit. Especially when it becomes a habit every day. So, you know.
Yes,
a lot of African Americans, you know, even, you know, we encourage them to do more home cooking, but then it's also, what are you eating at home? And how, like, a lot of people don't even realize that some of the seasonings that we are using are high in salt, high in sodium, which could increase your blood pressure, you know, those kind of things. So how are you seasoning your food? What are adequate, reasonable portion sizes? And so that's the reason why African-Americans are just dying at, you know, alarming rates. African-Americans are 3 to 5 times more likely to die from cardiac disease than our white counterparts. And a lot of this can be prevented just through education, which is why I also do work for a nonprofit organization called NCUS. And under that, we have the African-American Male Wellness Agency, where we also do free health screenings every year. So we do target these things to help African Americans live a better lifestyle, know their numbers, so they can do better.
Yes, it's so important. And what numbers should they know? So talk to us about that.
So at that nonprofit, we screen things like their blood pressure. We screen things like their biometrics. So we're measuring their blood glucose, their blood cholesterol, height, weight, and BMI. We also offer screenings like cancer, colorectal screenings, prostate screenings, because we know that African-American men are getting these cancers more often and more likely to die. And for the women, we're also offering mammograms and things like that. But we need to know these numbers, because oftentimes it's the stigma in the Black community, right? Not to go to the doctors.
Yes.
We can't go to the doctors.
Medical mistrust. I think that's
medical mistrust. Medical mistrust, just from the history of what, like the Tuskegee experiment, you know. So a lot of African Americans don't want to go to the hospital. A lot of women don't want to go to the hospital because, you know, we just bear it all, right? We're just told to be strong. We're told to be strong. We're told to be strong. And so with events like these, you know, we're able to bring the hospital to the community. And we make it fun. You know, we bring vendors and food and music, and it's just a good time. So definitely education to help African-Americans, and then more people like us in healthcare. You know, we need, I promote all the time, we need Black people in healthcare. We need Black men in healthcare, Black women in healthcare, because you're more likely to trust your sister and your auntie and your uncle and your brother than you are somebody else. And so I actually, you know, with that, within that company, we have a school called NCUS Tech, where we train. We train students for free, and we train them in sTNA, phlebotomy technician, and EKG tech. We have more individuals in healthcare. So a lot of it is just access to those resources, access to that education, access to knowing your numbers, because the better you know and the more you know, the more you're able to actually take care of yourself.
Yeah.
So a lot of our students come to our class and they're like, Nurse T, I can't believe I'm learning all this stuff. I'm going to go home and reevaluate my whole life.
It's so true, especially the comment you mentioned about the spices. You know, we hear so much about, oh, well, you know, get lean meats and, you know, change the foods. But, you know, Black people, we love some spice. So we love to spice it up.
Garlic salt, garlic salt, onion salt, seasoning salt, soy sauce.
Oh, yeah. Yes, and we don't use no measuring spoons. We just, what they say is we pour until our ancestors say stop.
And it's, you know, but that's the number one reason why we've got all this high blood pressure. And, you know, high blood pressure, they call that the silent killer. And that's why it's killing so many of us, because it can go on for years and years and years and be unnoticed. And the whole time it's destroying your organs, specifically, number one, your kidneys, which is why so many African Americans end up on dialysis. And they don't realize that it's serious until they go get their blood pressure checked, and it's 180s or 200s of or something, and they're shocked and they're surprised. And, you know, they're like, you know what, I have been having this headache, you know, and, you know, sometimes they have no symptoms at all. So it's really, really scary. So the biggest thing is prevention, right? You know, obviously I train in CPR through my business, but the biggest thing is prevention. We don't want to do CPR in the first place.
Yes, that is true. Prevention is always the best. I'm a big advocate for preventing things from happening, you know, instead of just responding to, you know, a situation. So I think that that really is just so important. But there is a lack of education in the community. You know, we do have a lot of bad habits that we still need to come out of. It was generational, you know. And, you know, you were talking about dialysis. And growing up, my father, he had kidney failure and he was on dialysis. So I saw the struggle. I saw what he had to go through every day. He actually lasted 10 years on dialysis, which was long for the time. This was during the 90s. But I saw, you know, all the medications he had to take. And it started out with high blood pressure, you know, just like you said. But that medical mistrust, you know, someone in the church said, oh, you don't need those blood pressure pills. You don't need to take
them. Just pray it away.
And, just pray and it'll go away. That pressure, that pressure. Just pray that pressure away, you know? And unfortunately, that's our culture, you know? And back then, we didn't really know as much as we do today. So he did. He stopped taking his medications and ended up going into renal failure and kidney failure. So I saw it firsthand. And then I remember what our life was like after the diagnosis and dialysis. You know, we all had to start eating that low salt. And, you know, we all, we was like, what is this, Dad? Because my father did all the cooking, too. So we, he made fried chicken, he made all that good stuff. And then after that, and he had to start cooking healthier, we was like, what is this? This don't taste good. But we learned that, you know, we learned then the importance. So we have a comment in our stream here. So Christian says, Filipinas would say, if your medicine is supposed to be 3 times a day, you take it 1 time and pray the other two.
No, trust your prescription. Follow your doctor's orders.
Yes. So that's a whole nother topic. You know,
Compliance. The rebound
hypertension. We see a lot of non-compliance.
We can talk all day.
Yes. And it's just, you know, we have to culturally kind of get out of it. It will take time, but I think we are moving in the right direction. But definitely with programs such as yours, you know, you're raising a lot of awareness in the community and showing a lot of Black and Brown people that they can do CPR. A lot of people feel that, oh, that's only for medical professionals, but you're kind of bringing it down to the community level. So that's really fantastic, you know?
And that's what my Rescue Ready initiative is going to be, is bringing CPR into the inner cities. Because again, when you look at statistics, it does show that you are more likely to die from a cardiac arrest in the inner city versus a suburb. And when they really researched and digged into that, it was because when you're in the inner city, more than likely, you're not going to get that CPR. For one, you're not going to get it at all. If you do get it, it's not in a timely manner. And it's because people aren't being trained to recognize what is a cardiac arrest. How do I assess? How do I check for pulse? They don't know what to do. Or they're afraid, because some people do have the misconception that I have to be certified in order to give CPR. And that's just not true. And so a lot of times CPR is not being initiated. You know, we have this new young generation who, you know, they'll pull out their phones and record and put somebody on live instead of calling the police. So there's a whole bunch of barriers that can happen that would prevent somebody from getting adequate care. And so that's what Rescue Ready intends to do, is to offer free trainings in the inner cities, in those communities of color, so that they can get access to CPR and save lives. I think we just lost Dr.
Everybody, welcome back. Got cut off a little bit back there. But this has been such a great conversation tonight, you know, and I think that it's just so important that we educate the community on, you know, heart disease and those risk factors, prevention, but we also are prepared in case an emergency does happen. And we want to get people comfortable with doing CPR so that they know that there are the Good Samaritan laws out there and that you can jump into a situation and help to save a life. So I think that this is just really great and tremendous work that you're doing. And it's so fantastic that you have, you know, your own business, you're a mom, you're a nurse. You know, you're doing all these things and juggling all these things. I think that is just fantastic and just truly courageous. So yes. What are some upcoming projects that you have planned for this year?
So some upcoming projects is I'm starting the Rescue Ready, which is an initiative to help CPR trainings in the inner city. I am looking to grow my team. So this year I'm going to be training about 6 to 10 more instructors to continue that initiative, to spread awareness, to do trainings. Yes, so we are offering that. And then again, even with the babysitters, I tell people all the time, like, we train CPR and children as young as 9 years old. As young as 9 years old, as long as they are strong enough to get those compressions, they can learn CPR. Just continue to grow my business. Everything that I do, as far as even work, like I said, I still work at the bedside. I work as an educator. But everything I do, including my business, is to serve others and give back to the community. So those are just some of the few things. Me and my husband, like I said, Tim Lowe, he's been a strong supporter of mine. We've been married for 10 years. We also have other businesses, including a dump truck business. Yeah. So we're always just trying to figure out new things, coming to work.
That's fantastic. You guys are going for world domination.
we're trying, but definitely expanding my current business, getting into a bigger site and just having a bigger touch and an impact into the community for sure.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's really wonderful. And you're just such an inspiration for those out there who may have had a rough start, you know, a rough beginning, but, you know, there is light at the end of the tunnel, you know, and yeah. that there is something that, you know, if you put your passion and your hard work, and you can achieve your goals, you know. So I think that you're just such a wonderful inspiration to women out there. So now tell me more about Uplift Her. You said there's a convention coming up. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. Yeah, so I also work for NCUS, and part of our umbrella is the Uplift Her branch. And so we actually are coming to Houston, Texas.
Yay!
Yes, we are. September 28th. So what Uplift Her is it's an initiative for women. And so that initiative is to help women lower their risk. And so at that event, it's a free event. It's inspiring. We'll have food, fun, and vendors. But then we'll also have free health screenings for women, because women are actually 2 to 3 times more likely to die from a cardiac arrest. One of those reasons being they're not given CPR. And then the other one is just our symptoms are so vague, and we put ourselves last, right? So this is the opportunity for women to put themselves first for the day and get spoiled and get pampered and get screened and know their numbers so they can lower their risk. We'll have free mammograms, free blood pressure checks, blood glucose checks, cholesterol checks. It's just a sisterhood vibe. It's fun. We just finished our Uplift Her event here in Ohio on June 20th. It was awesome. We had over 5,000 people in attendance. We gave out over 500. Yes, we gave over 500 free screenings to the community. So we're really excited. This will be our second year in Houston. We're really excited to bring it there. We're excited for people to come and just fellowship and just have fun and, you know, bring their daughters too. This is like a family event, but we want, you know, it starts at the youth, right? So we want to show our young ladies, that we're taking care of our own health. So they grow up and see that example. You know, I'm a firm advocate of it. I've got 4 daughters. Yes, 4 daughters who look up to me to take care of my own health, and I have my 1 son too, but those daughters.
I know.
We will be in Houston, Texas on September 28th. So, you know, share the word, spread the word. We are looking forward to seeing everybody there and just giving back to the community to lower everyone's risk.
Oh, that's awesome. And where will it be taking place in Houston?
It will be taking place at St. John's United Methodist Church. Again, we will be there. Screenings typically start first, but we'll have like a grand opening. Like I said, vendors, music, entertainment. It's a whole vibe. They've already started advertising it down there, and it'll be a good time. So we definitely want everybody to come out. It'll be a great place to network. And even just, you know, that's kind of how I started with my business, is networking. Literally networking and aligning yourself with like-minded women. And women, I always tell people when they ask me like why I started my business or how I started my business, I always say like, hang out with people that inspire you, hang out with people that where you want to see. So I always tell people, just get a mentor.
Yes.
Every woman should have a mentor.
Yes. Yes. Mentorship is very important. And I mentor a few young women, and it really is a life saver, life changer for them, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. I tell them to get a mentor. I also mentor as well. And I just, you know, networking. And so events just like Uplift Her and other events, you know, I always tell people, go on Eventbrite and just look up women events.
Yeah.
Go look up women events and go to things. Because you have to surround yourself with different circles. You can't keep doing the same thing and expecting the same results, right? That's the definition of insanity. I definitely tell people to network, get a mentor. And then I also just tell people, you know, it's not easy. You know, I've been in business for 1 year, but it's not easy. And I also tell people now, like, don't rush into it. Don't rush into business. Like, actually take your time, investigate, research, create a business plan. Because what I will say that I've seen why most businesses don't last past a year is because they rush into it and they don't have the knowledge behind it. And they end up, you know, putting too much money in and not getting enough back. And business is hard. Anybody who runs a business knows that you're not going to have profits right away.
That's true. That is so true. And so can you tell those out there in our audience who are thinking of starting their own business, what are some of the first steps? What's the first step they should take? Let's start with that.
So the first step I would take is pray about it. I'm one person that I don't move without God as my lead, with my direction. No matter what vision I have or whatever step I took, whether it was a job, whether it was me marrying my husband.
That part.
Any business, us opening our businesses, I've always had to pray about it. I've always had to pray about it first, ask God to lead me so I can manifest it. But then it's also like, you have to put in the work. Some people, you know, they have these great visions and these ideas, but at the end of the day, it comes down to hard work. Okay. You have to, magic doesn't just happen. Every successful person didn't just sit on their butt one day and magic happened and they became these millionaires. They had to put a lot of hard work, sleepless nights, hours of thought into it. And then obviously do your research. About what it is. And then I always tell people too, make sure it's your passion. This doesn't feel like work to me because it's my passion. I feel like it's my purpose and my calling to train, educate, teach, and reach the community. So just make sure it's a passion of yours first. So those would be the first steps, I would just say. And then obviously, you know, making that business plan.
Yes. Oh, that's so wonderful. That's such great information. We have a comment from our audience, from Eileen Legault. She says, I believe mentorship and networking are crucial for personal growth and also in growing your business. Yeah, and that's so true. You know, you gave us such great pieces of wisdom here and advice for those who are interested in entrepreneurship. Or in starting their own business, people forget that part. People try to do it all on their own. They try to carry the whole weight of it all. And those are usually the people that end up crashing and burning, especially in that first year, you know? Yeah. So it's so important for us to, like you said, pray about it. You know, you always got to start with God. With anything we do. But then also, you know, get a good mentor, you know, or and get some networking done. You know, I'm a fan of Eventbrite. I do like to check and see, you know, what kind of events they have going on. There's definitely lots of events here in Houston. But then networking through LinkedIn is also good to do. And then I have my nursing mentors as well as my spiritual mentors. So it's, we have to be fed and then feed others, you know, and it's a real cycle. It's a give and take. And like you said, it's not overnight.
and networking is so awesome because it really is just a conversation. It's just a conversation with, you know, people in a room. And then it's like you get a spark. Oh, you do that. Oh, I know somebody. And, you know, most of the business people I know who are wealthy, who are successful, who are succeeding, are not where they are at because their college education or their experience. It came from networking. It came from knowing somebody. And they were able to say your name in a room that you weren't in. Oh, I know somebody and I know somebody, you know. And so networking, I tell people, goes a long, long way.
Yes, it's so true. And it's such great advice for our audience. So for those of you out there who are interested in staying alive, interested in receiving your CPR certification, reach out to Tanya. She has a fantastic, fantastic school, fantastic business. One more time, can you show us that website there so people can reach out to you and get certified? So we want everybody to stay alive, stay healthy and safe in the community. So I thank you so much, Tanya, for being on our show today. This has been a wonderful, wonderful discussion. And I really appreciate you and continue to do wonderful things. You're a fantastic role model to you and your family. And I thank you so much again.
Thank you for having me. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.